How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Good. Good. Great. All right. Praise the Lord. 4th of July weekend. Everybody have a good weekend. Anybody celebrate? Anybody do anything fun this weekend? Some people didn't. You guys are either like wore out from the weekend. Like, did you guys party too hard for 4th of July? You stayed up too late? Fireworks were over by like 9:30, all right? You should have been able to get to bed by 10. If you really wanted to, but all right. Well, today I'm preaching on freedom. I found that fitting. And as we consider this being 4th of July weekend, many people, seems like either everybody or nobody in here by the response, celebrated 4th of July weekend. And what's bad and what I find shocking is if you were to actually do a poll, probably not to older people, but to younger people, what is 4th of July about? Most people don't even really know what it's about, right? It's just like, well, it's 4th of July. It's kind of like if you ask me what Cinco de Mayo is, I have no idea. I just know that that's place time when you can go to the Mexican restaurant and get a special, right? You can get some kind of deal that day. You know, you might even be able to get like wear a sombrero or something. People in this country, most of them, especially the younger generation, they don't even know what the 4th of July means. They might say, well, it's a time where we get to go watch fireworks is probably number one. A time when we get to do a cookout is probably number two. Spend time with family. And so similarly to Easter and Christmas, the reason for the 4th of July is really often forgotten and overlooked. And a lot of times it's celebrated just because, well, it's something that we celebrate. Right? It's a reason. Everybody wants a reason to celebrate. Everybody wants a reason to have a party, have a get-together, or to go do something. And so if we're doing it for those reasons, we really need to know what's the purpose. And for me, for one, I would like to try to get myself to start calling it Independence Day instead of the 4th of July. That at least gives it a little bit of meaning, and people may be like, well, what does that mean? You know, kids are going to say, well, what does independence mean? Yeah, that seems like a big word, and we can start there. But Independence Day, obviously, it's a time to celebrate. It's time to celebrate what? Independence, freedom. Freedom that we declared about 239 years ago from our oppressors, the British. Sorry if there's any British people in here. But we celebrate that freedom, that liberty, that independence that we got at that time. And when they received this time, this freedom, when the colonies started to push for this, I mean, it was freedom that they desired, right? They were being controlled. They were being manipulated. They were being oppressed. As a matter of fact, they if you read, you can see that it says that their God-given rights were being restricted. And if you remember, I shared a lot of that last year. Their God-given rights were being restricted. They experienced religious persecution, unfair taxation, abuse, and used and abused by a government that didn't treat them as equal, really. They just wanted stuff from them. They didn't treat them as equal. But the thing I find really important about that time is under all these circumstances, all this mistreatment that they are experiencing, there was about a third of the population in America that wanted to remain under the king's rule. They were fine with it. Like, things are good the way they are. Don't upset the apple cart. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. There was another third that didn't want to be any part of politics, right? So you have a third of the people are fine being under the king's rule, actually like it. You have a third of the people who don't want to be part of politics. Now, if you do the math there, that's two-thirds of the people. That only leaves about a third, and these are estimated numbers that you can see if you study history, about a third of the people were these activists, right? They were radicals. They're like, nope, something has got to give. We're going to go to extreme measures because we desire freedom. We desire something to change. So again, consider they're outnumbered 2/3 to 1/3. That's double. There's double the number of people that either don't care to have any change or they don't really want to fight, and they're outnumbered. But because of this group of radicals, because this 1/3 decided, We're going for change. We're going for our God-given rights, what we believe we are entitled to from the Lord. Because of that, we have freedom today. That's good. Because of that, we have freedom today. This was a nation founded under God. It absolutely was. Contrary to the popular belief right now, if you go read the Declaration of Independence, you're going to see it was founded as a nation under God. They declare these are our God-given rights. And if you want to, you can go online and listen to Land of the Free. That's what I preached last year. And it was, most of it was out of the Declaration of Independence. But there was this small number of radicals. They knew they were outnumbered, but they stood for righteousness. They fought for freedom. They were victorious. In our country, right now, we're in a place where we've forced God out. This is a country founded on the principles of God, and it's a country that's forcing God out, right? Every area we turn, everywhere we look, and the church is probably the most oppressed people group in this country. One of the very reasons they wanted freedom in the first place is because of religious persecution. And we find ourselves right here, 239 years later, where the church is the most persecuted people group in America. You may disagree with that. That's why I said one of the most, or probably the most, but it really is. You see the church, you can do anything you want in this country except stand for Jesus. Once you throw the name Jesus in there, it's like, now wait a minute. Now, that's not okay in public. You can't be forcing your beliefs and your ideas on other people. And so the church is persecuted. And I want to tell you today that right now, today, in this country, if we could get a few people that would stand for Jesus like they stood in that day to England, despite being outnumbered, we too could be victorious today. I really believe that. I do, or I wouldn't be standing up here right now. I'd probably be doing something I shouldn't be doing. All right? But I really believe if we would stand for righteousness today, just a small group of people, just a fraction, and we would stand for righteousness no matter what the cost, no matter how difficult it is. Listen, it can be discouraging to look and see how outnumbered we are. All right? St. Elmo is about 1,500 or 1,600 people with at least 10 churches in the immediate area. And if you add up all the number of the people in the churches, it's probably a third of the number of people that live in this town. Okay, we're outnumbered. We got 10 churches in St. Elmo, and we're still outnumbered by the people that don't want anything to do with Jesus, or they could just be indifferent. They just like things the way that they are. Romans 8:31, Paul tells us, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, it starts with, what do we say to these things? Now, if you read these things, if you want to know what that means, you can read Romans chapter 8, which I'd say would be good homework for this week, to read Romans chapter 8. And we'll see what, you'll see what Paul teaches about there. But he teaches, first and foremost, freedom from sin, freedom from indwelling sin. He teaches about being children of God, becoming the children by the indwelling of the Spirit. And then right here, right before this verse 31, in verse 30, he tells us about the sufferings of this world. That's these things. Because of these things, the suffering of this world, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's what Paul tells us. The sufferings of this world, the answer to that is, what do you say to the sufferings of this world? If God is for me, who can be against me? That's what that one third said 239 years ago. If God is for me, who can be against me? It doesn't matter if we're outnumbered. I know that with God on my side, they're outnumbered. They don't have a chance. And so because we can be free from sin, and because we can be a child of God, the things that he talks about in Romans 8, because his Spirit can live in us, we can say to these things that they don't compare to the glory of God that can be revealed within us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Man, this right here is why it only takes a few. You realize that? That's why it only takes a few. If God's people could grasp this teaching, freedom from sin, adoption as sons and daughters, man, realize this world has nothing on us. Just a few people, we could lead a revolution. We could see a change in our nation. Do you believe that? I believe that we could see a change in our nation. How many of you look around and think, this is hopeless? I can't say I've never said that. We look around and we think, this is hopeless. What can we do? And I've had this view for years in voting. Because of our system, I think, well, I could go and vote for president. What's my vote going to count? You know, what's my one vote going to count? Well, that's a terrible mindset to have. That's a terrible mindset to have. We're to be obedient to the Lord. And if you need to go vote, then you go and vote. And you vote the way that you feel God leading you to. We should never look at what we do as insignificant or small because I myself am one person. And in comparison to everything else, I'm outnumbered. Yeah, if everybody did that, it would be terrible. But you're not outnumbered. Listen, you're not outnumbered. Not if God is with you. If God is for you, you are not ever, one single time, are you outnumbered. It only takes a few to lead this revolution, to see our nation changed. Man, I want to see the oppressed set free. Amen? Free. That's what we desire. Just the same as they desired 239 years ago, we desire freedom today. Now, our nation, you know, we're in a nation that not only accepts, but it even promotes things like abortion, homosexual relationships and marriage, divorce, pornography and strip clubs. I can't stand driving into a big city and those billboards that are screaming out at you. You know, every other one is something inappropriate. We got feminism, pride, witchcraft, drunkenness, love of money. That's the kinds of things that our country, the people in our country, view as freedom. Being able to do those things without you telling them that they're wrong. That's what people view as freedom. Doing what I want. These are the very things that the Word of God condemns, yet our country views as freedom, as liberty. And just like our nation's founders, it's going to take some radicals. It's going to take some people that will stand up to extreme measures for righteousness to declare the truths of God. That is what will bring true freedom in our country. And that's it. That's the only way. It's going to be a move of God. God moving through people, right? People standing for righteousness. Just a few. Just a few. That's all that we need. And it can start with us. I believe that. You believe it could start with us at Freedom Reigns in Christ Church? So where do we begin? Where do we begin with that? And I want to look at that today. John chapter 8. Switching from Romans 8 to John 8. And we're going to see what the Word of God says true freedom looks like. So if you want to turn to John chapter 8 verse 31. Father, we thank you for your Word. We just pray right now, Lord, that your word would speak to our hearts. Let your word be what people remember, what impacts our lives. Not the words and the wisdom of man, but Lord, we need you to speak to us today through your scriptures. I pray that your spirit would speak to our hearts, change our lives today, put a burden on our heart to serve you and you alone. Lord, we pray that today you would invade our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to read this whole thing first, and then we're going to kind of break it down. So John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36 says this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then they answered to him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Man, for an individual person and for all of creation. That right there is the definition of true freedom. This right here is true freedom. And I don't know how many times, maybe you've thought it yourself, but I hear all the time about how Christianity is restrictive, right? It doesn't let me do the things that I want. To be a Christian, like, you got to follow a set of rules, and you can't do the things that are fun in life. And people view it as restricting, and that's not at all what it is. People all desire freedom. At the core of our being, we desire freedom because we desire Christ. And Christ is the one that can truly set us free. That first verse, when Jesus starts talking, he tells them, he says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." This is where freedom begins, belief. Freedom begins with belief. Going back to our nation's founders, they believed that God had given them rights that were being violated. That's what they believed. This wasn't just people that were just, "We're going to rebel against our government." These are people that believed we have rights that God Almighty has given us, and you're taking them from me. I believe that, and I'm not going to put up with it. They believed that. They believed it should be changed. They believed that it could be changed. It started with a belief in God. It started with a belief in God's word. Belief in Jesus is where freedom begins. Belief in Jesus. It has to start there. Belief that he is who he says he is. Not who we've heard that he is. Belief that he is who he says he is. Belief that he really did die for our sins. We have to have belief that he really did rise from the grave to eternal life, resurrected. Man, we have to have belief that he loves us and that he did those things for us. We have to have that belief. That's saving faith. It starts with belief. But in belief, there's also trust. Trusting that his word is true. Trusting in the promises of God. And so he says here, he says, "If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." Abide means to remain in, to continue in. And you can't abide in something if you don't really trust that it's true. If you don't believe it. You have to believe it's true. And so we believe that the words of the Lord are true. We've got to remain in it. We've got to continue in it. This is why people don't get saved and then go off and live like hell and grace covers all. You have to abide in Christ. That's remaining in those truths, in those principles, believing in them. We have to remain in them. That shows that we're a true disciple. And listen, man, I know that life is hard. I feel like I said something like this a few weeks ago, but life is difficult. Life is challenging for everybody. Listen, there is nobody that's exempt from a difficult life. Even rich people, okay? That's, most people be like, "Well, somebody, if I had $5 million, I wouldn't have a difficult life." Yes, you would. Oh, yeah, you would. You might have a more difficult life. Yeah, I mean, people get in all kinds of trouble that have a lot of money. Money doesn't free you. Money doesn't make things better. But life is challenging. It's hard. But we have to make that a choice to abide in Christ. That I'm choosing that I'm going to remain in Christ. I'm going to persevere through these obstacles. I'm going to stay obedient to him. When life tells me lies, I'm not going to believe them. I'm going to believe the truth. I'm going to remain in the truth. You know what else is part of that, though, is when our world, our country, embraces sin, abiding in Christ is you choosing, "I'm not embracing sin. I'm going to continue to embrace righteousness. I'm going to continue to believe the things of God, that they are true, that they are pure. I'm going to deny sin, and I'm going to pursue righteousness." That's abiding in Christ, remaining in him, no matter what's going on around us. No matter what. And you know what? You're going to mess up, and there's going to be a time where you're not going to abide in Christ. You know what you do? You repent. Change your mind. "I'm going back after Jesus. Yes, I messed up today. Guess what? I'm not doing it now. I'm going after the Lord." Abiding in Christ, remaining in him, continuing to go after him, it's key. And 1 John 2:6 tells us, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. If we say we abide in Christ, we ought to walk like Jesus walked on this earth. That's the evidence of genuine faith. It's the evidence of genuine faith is how we live out this life, how we treat others, how we persevere through trials, through obstacles. It's obeying and practicing the teachings of the Lord. And if we abide in him, he says, you are my disciples indeed. This is all the first step. This is all goes with believe. You got to believe to be free, first and foremost. Then in verse 32, John 8, 32, Jesus follows it up and says, so if you do that, if you abide in me, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth will make you free. And there's one way to know the truth. To abide in Christ. To continue in him. Continuing to believe and obey. And then knowing the truth will set us free. Will set us free. Listen, some people really don't understand freedom. Again, they want to be free, thinking it means doing whatever they want, but we can do whatever we want and it doesn't make us free. You guys realize that the things that we do have consequences? Every single thing that we do has consequences. Good and bad, absolutely. It's something that Christy used to try to get me to do with the kids for discipline, was like try to figure out what the natural consequences would be. Like, it was too complicated for me. She's a lot smarter than me. And I'm like, I don't see a natural consequence for that. How about I just spank him instead? But she used to try to get me to see the natural consequences for things. And we tried to the best of our ability to show them. These are the natural consequences for the choice that you make. And so everything we do has consequences. Man, listen what being free, like when we want to be free, which in the world, again, means do whatever you want. You know what that leads to? It leads to sin. Being free from a worldly standpoint leads to sin. And sin does not make you free because sin has consequences. Romans 8, back to that, Paul tells us that, you know, we can have freedom from indwelling sin. It comes by walking in the Spirit, living according to the Spirit. That's where the true freedom is, not in the flesh. And, you know, I used to have a real different view on freedom. I used to be of the camp that doing whatever I want meant freedom. I used to think that it was awesome to be free to go and drink however much that I wanted to. Right? I thought that was freedom. Nobody can tell me there's a limit. Nobody can tell me I can't do it. That's got to be freedom, right? And I used to think that being able to look at whoever and whatever I wanted was freedom because nobody could tell me what I can't do. I used to think that putting people down or embarrassing them, you know, making a joke at someone else's expense so that people would laugh at me, regardless of how it made people feel, I used to think that that was true freedom. Man, now I realize, you know what freedom is? Freedom is never in my life again waking up with a hangover. Dude, that is freedom. All right? I've been bound by many hangovers in my younger days, and I have the freedom to never experience that again. I have the freedom to never wonder if I did anything stupid last night and then have to regret it later when I find out what I did. Man, I have the freedom to not feel guilt and shame of looking at pornography, and I have the freedom to understand that those other women are somebody else's daughter or their wife or their sister or their mother. I have the freedom to know that. Man, that is freedom. Let me tell you, that is freedom. I have the freedom to edify people and make them feel good about themselves instead of seeing if I can make them feel bad just to make myself feel good. Man, that is freedom. Because sin binds us. Sin removes freedom. It removes freedom because it weighs us down. It weighs us down. It damages us. Hebrews 12:1, the second half of that tells us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance that race that is set before us. Man, let us lay aside that sin, the weight. It weighs us down. You try running a race with a 100-pound backpack on. Griffin's probably been doing that, running races with 100-pound backpacks. But throw a backpack on, you know. Listen, I'm pretty confident I probably could take any of you guys in a race, even you, Jason, if you had a 100-pound backpack on. Maybe. I'm not in very good shape. Maybe I shouldn't make that challenge, but 100-pound backpack. I could definitely take any of you guys. You think about carrying a bunch of extra weight and trying to run a race. What do athletes do as they're going into racing season? Man, they're like trimming weight. They're getting in shape. They're building themselves up. They're not putting on more weight. Yet we try to run this race every single day, and you got some people just loading more junk in the backpack. And like, man, this race is hard. I can't do it. Listen, empty out the backpack. If you can't just tip it over and dump the thing out, man, at least start throwing out what you can. Man, the Lord will help you empty that thing out, but at least get out the stuff that you can. Lay aside some of that weight so you can run this race. Galatians 5:1 tells us, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, the freedom by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Man, if Christ has made you free, man, we have got to stand fast in that freedom instead of picking up that bondage again. Let's stand fast in freedom. Let's be ones that are pushing for righteousness and holiness in our lives, in our households, and in our church, in our community. Man, I believe we can have this. I believe we can see St. Elmo saved, Altamont saved. I think we're going to. I believe we're going to. You know why? Because we're going to see a number of people, a fragment of people that are going to decide, I'm standing for righteousness and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And it's going to work. It's going to be victorious because God is on our side. Amen? The truth says we can be free of sin. Walking in the truth brings freedom. Remain in Christ. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. Then they answer Jesus with this in John chapter 8, verse 33. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Think about this. The Jews right here, they're offended with Jesus. They're upset. They're like, are you kidding me? Like, free from what? Like, what do we need freedom from? We're the Jews. We don't need any freedom. We were born free. It's our birthright. We were born free. How can we be any more free than this, than what we are right here, right now? You know what? Some of you may feel that way right now. You may agree exactly with that. And I fear that that's a major mindset across our nation today. Man, this is the land of the free, right? I'm an American. Let me tell you something. Most Americans think that they're better than every other country. I'm just telling you, most Americans probably feel like we're better than the people in other countries because we're Americans. This is the land of the free. Listen, you just count yourself blessed you were born here. I mean, really, you could have been born in Zimbabwe. You could have been born in Iraq. I mean, you count yourself blessed. Yeah, not lucky, blessed that you were born an American. But too many Americans, they feel this way. I was born in the land of the free. This is as free as it gets, right? I can do what I want. I was born free. I've been free all my life. Like, what do you mean I need freedom? Man, we're talking about spiritual freedom, and there's a lot of people in this country that don't have it. There's some people in this very room that don't have it, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm saying that today you can have it. You can have it today. There's so much more to this life than pleasing ourselves. Man, there's so much more to this life than just doing what we want to do. That's not a common or a popular statement in this country that we live in. Yeah, that's true.
What's happening
Yeah, that's true.
Because 90% of the kids in school have never heard of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because they don't, their parents don't go to church because they didn't.
Yeah, that's true. And it all comes back to our government taking Christ out.
One person to change it.
Yeah. It's true. One person spearheading taking Christ out of the school, that we could get one person that would spearhead, we're putting Jesus back in school. It could be changed that easy. Maybe not that easy. It can be changed by God that easy, but you know what I mean? God can put that burden on somebody's heart. Yeah, he can put that burden on somebody's heart that can make a difference. And that's, at the end, we're going to pray for our country. And that's one of the things, we're going to pray for our leaders and believe in that. Man, we have got to realize that there's so much more than being able to do what we want to do. John 8, 34 and 35, Jesus' response to that is, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." Now, whoever commits sin, this is not saying every single person and every single sin. Man, we're all sinners saved by grace, hopefully. And we walk in the flesh to please ourselves instead of walking in the spirit sometimes, which is what we ought to do to please our Lord. But what he's saying here is those who make this choice of sin, those who continue in the ways of wickedness instead of in holiness, those people are slaves to sin. Slaves to sin. And if you're a slave to sin, you're in bondage. A slave is in bondage. A slave is not free. It's the exact opposite of what we desire, of what people think of when they think of, I want to be free to live how I want. And so hear this today. If you choose to live in sin, you're a slave to that sin. Whatever it is. If you choose to do it, you're a slave to it, whatever it is. And today we can make that choice to be repentant of it. Listen, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm praying about it. I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm going to repent. And I believe that today that Jesus can free us of these things. So we're not a slave anymore. But if we're not repentant, we become a slave. We continue as a slave. Proverbs 5:22 says, "His own iniquities entrap the wicked man. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of sin." Man, living a life of sin, it binds us. It binds us. It puts us in this place of being condemned by the law, where we will receive a sentence of eternal punishment. And then that sin, when we're enslaved to it, it determines our destiny. Because listen, Satan does not allow for freedom. I'm telling you that today. Satan does not allow for freedom. What did he come to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. Does that sound like freedom? He came to take your joy. He came to take your life, your soul, and leave you bound, leave you afflicted. He doesn't give you a choice of what to do next. See, it's called freedom by the worldly standard, but it's false freedom. Because you don't have a choice of what to do next. You don't have a choice of how to follow up when you're a slave to that sin. Because he leaves you with one course to follow in this position of bondage, powerless to defeat him on your own, a slave. And a slave of sin does not have a place in the kingdom of God. However, praise Jesus that he gives us a way out. That he provides a way out. Man, adoption as sons and daughters. Adoptions as sons and daughters, rebirth by the Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit, that we may become free from sin and be made a slave to righteousness. That is true freedom. Being free of sin and a slave to righteousness. And in verse 36, John 8, 36, he tells us, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Man, if Jesus makes you free, you will be unrestrained, not bound. You will truly be free. This is true freedom, unrestrained, not bound at all. And I do believe that freedom can be yours today. I absolutely do. And I'm telling you that today, you're going to have a chance to receive it at the end. And if you need it, do not miss your opportunity today. Do not miss that opportunity. Don't let fear or doubt stop you from responding. That freedom can be yours. And I'm tying all this back in because I know I'm talking about personal freedom, and I started with a free country. And this week we've been celebrating our independence from tyranny, from bondage of an oppressive government. That was won 239 years ago, independence from that government. We celebrate independence as a nation, but listen, this is temporary. This is independence that we celebrate that's temporary. It's great, I'm glad that we have it, but man, it's temporary. We've got to remember that. There will be a day where we don't get to enjoy those freedoms anymore. Now, if you're a child of God, you're going to enjoy way better freedom than what we think we got on this earth. But what we appreciate, what we enjoy on the 4th of July, not to take anything from it, because thank you, Lord, for our freedom. Thank you for our soldiers that have died and fought so that we could have that freedom. But we got to remember this freedom's temporary. And we should celebrate it. I do believe it. But shouldn't we also daily celebrate our independence from tyranny and the bondage of guilt, of sin, of fear, of death? Man, that independence was won over 2,000 years ago. Shouldn't we daily celebrate that independence, that freedom? Shouldn't we celebrate and discover the depths of a freedom, of an independence that lasts for eternity? Man, we're talking about freedom that lasts forever, a really long time, forever. How often do we celebrate that? How often do we thank God for that? How often do we tell others about that kind of freedom? Man, that's the kind of freedom we ought to really get excited about. Praise the Lord that we've got freedom in this country, but man, praise the Lord even more that we've got freedom for all of eternity if we've come to know Him. Remember, our founders, man, they were outnumbered. They were outnumbered greatly. But when you stand for God and He's on your side, listen, He is bigger. He is stronger. I'm going to tell you, you can flip to the back. If you've never been to the back of your Bible, you can read through Revelation. He wins. Our God wins. He's already won. Our God wins. And that's the God that's on our side when we stand for righteousness. And I'm telling you, it just takes a faithful group. A faithful group that will reject sin and pursue Christ. Man, that's what will save our nation. That is what will save our nation. People that stand for righteousness. Proverbs 14:34 tells us, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Man, if we want to see this nation turned around, I'm going to tell you what it doesn't require is wisdom of man. I'm serious. It doesn't require wisdom of man. We don't need smarter people in leadership. We don't need to be smarter. What we need is the righteousness of God in men. That's what will change our nation. That's what will save our nation. Not the wisdom of men, but the righteousness of an almighty, all-powerful God in men. That will change our nation. Ronald Reagan said this. He said, America was founded by people who believed that God was their rock of safety. I recognize we must be cautious in claiming that God is on our side, but I think it's all right to keep asking if we're on His side. And if that doesn't go back far enough for you, look at something that Patrick Henry said. He was one of the founders. He said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For that reason alone, people of other faiths have been afforded the freedom of worship here. It's been founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. This nation. Man, that is good. That's good stuff. Man, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's so that we don't have to walk around in bondage anymore. And we're gonna prepare for a time of prayer. And this is how we're gonna do it, just so you guys know. I want to pray for our country. If you can put that list up there. I want to pray for our country. And these are just some ideas. But I want to ask people, everyone who's willing, I want you to come forward. And I just want to take time praying together. Praying for our country. Praying for some of this stuff. Put military over here. I forgot that on the four side. But and then some things to pray against. Man, we are going to pray for our country. And I believe that today that we could see the start of a shift in the atmosphere by us coming together in faith. And listen, we're not going to stand for sin anymore. We're going after you, Jesus. And here's the things that we want to see change. And we're going to voice these to him today. And so what we're going to do, I also want people to have a chance for prayer. If you would like someone to pray with you, we're going to have Jason and Ben are going to be back here in this back side over here. If you want to start to get that music going, Robbie. So this is how we're going to do it. If you want to receive prayer, if you want somebody to pray with you about anything, you need to receive freedom in your life. I want you to go back there and see Jason and Ben. And then if you're willing, which I pray that most of you are, I want you to come forward and we're just going to pray for some of these things on here. And the heart of this is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And listen, I know this was wrote to the Jewish people. Okay, but listen, if you believe that you've been grafted in, then this was wrote for you. All right? If you don't believe that you've been grafted in, then you're under the law. And then none of this is for you. But I believe that this is for us today as well, even though it was specific for them that day. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Man, this is exactly what we want. That's exactly what we want. We want God to forgive us of our sins, absolutely. But we want him to turn towards this nation. We want our land healed. We want a nation under God. We want the nation that these founders of our country, that they were pursuing, that they were desiring, a nation that had God-given rights and freedoms. Man, that's what our desire is today. And so right now, we're going to open this up as soon as I can get this thing undone. What do you mean it doesn't work? It did. There we go. What we're going to do is, if you're willing and able, I want you to begin to start just to make a line down the middle. You don't have to, listen, this is not a prayer contest. This is, we're talking to Almighty God. If you feel like you're willing to come and pray for something, we're going to grab this microphone. It's going to be on. And you're just going to pray something. You got to speak into it, by the way. If you hold it like this, nobody can hear. But speak into the microphone and just pray. Whatever's on your heart. It doesn't have to be up there, but that's ideas if you don't have something. We're just going to seek the Lord for a few minutes for our country. I believe this is important that we pray for our country. I believe it's important that we lift up our country. If we truly want to see change, man, we've got to let the Lord know. If we call, he will answer. And so I'm going to kick us off. Anybody who wants, you need to start lining up behind me and you'll just go after me. If you want prayer for yourselves, go back and join Ben and Jason back there. And again, this doesn't have to be really long. If you got something really short, then that's cool. We're just lifting up our hearts to the Lord this morning. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are mighty. We thank you, Lord, that our trust is in you. We thank you, Lord, that our confidence is in your word. And that, Lord, you say that if we would turn to you away from our wicked ways, if we would give up the sin of this world and we would seek your face, Lord, that you would heal our land. You'd forgive us of our sin. And we just ask right now, Lord, I ask for forgiveness on behalf of our nation. Lord, I repent on behalf of the nation, the United States of America, Lord, for turning our back on you, Lord, for pushing you out of the areas that we've pushed you out of. And Lord, we just pray right now, Lord, that the areas that you've been forced out of, Lord, I pray that you would put those men and women in position, Lord, to drive that force, Lord, to push for righteousness, to push for your return into our schools, into the workplace, into our government, all the things that you've been taken out of, Lord. We just ask for you to be returned, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty, unprecedented way. Lord, let us not be limited by being outnumbered. Let us not be limited by fear or doubt. But Lord, let us remember that with you on our side, Lord, all things are possible. Lord, that with you on our side, we are no longer outnumbered. And we just pray right now for you to invade our government from the top to the bottom, from presidents, Lord, to mayors or city councilmen. Lord, we pray that you would invade them, that you would save them, set them on fire, give them your vision for this country, for the cities that they're in. Lord, we just pray for a revolution through our government, that they would see this world through the eyes of Christ. Lord, that they would learn to love, that they would learn to pursue righteousness above popularity, above polls and numbers. Lord, we just pray that you'd put righteous men and women in positions of office in Jesus' name.